So this morning, we're going to get into the word right now, right straight away. We've got 25.
Yeah.
My goodness. I want to speak on reflections. I've given it this title and I don't know why. And it'll make sense to you by the end of this message. But we reflect something. And sometimes things get put on us that causes us not to reflect what we should be reflecting. I mean, everybody knows what a mirror is, and everybody has a mirror in your house. You've got a mirror in your car, and you look at yourself in the mirror often. Don't tell me you don't, because you do. In fact, when we upgraded the men's bathroom, but anyway, so when we upgraded, the guys on staff said, and not our current staff, the other staff that we had a few years ago, when they put the mirror up, they said, we want a big mirror. Why? They want a full-length mirror that they can see themselves. You want to finish doing your hands and everything, and you walk out there and you want to like just make sure that that's what they wanted. But it's interesting. Mirrors are a very interesting thing. And the person, I don't know whoever, I must Google it. You know, who designed the mirror? Probably the Egyptians, you know. Because I know they use brass mirrors. But anyway, mirrors have been around forever. And the thing about a mirror, man, unless you go into one of those funny, you know, kind of like those theme park where you walk into the distorted mirror section and you just laugh yourself to death. But generally, mirrors. So when you go into the bathroom and you look at a mirror, whether it's full length, half length, the smaller size mirror that you're looking into, what's reflecting is exactly 100% you. It's nobody else. There's nobody else that's reflecting us, but reflecting you. It's the true you, right? It's a fact. I mean, you can stand in front of the mirror with a Cokie pen, and you can draw a picture around it and try and beautify it and make it kind of, but the fact is, the way you woke up in the morning, the way you look at the mirror in that condition, that's you. That's what's coming back. That's the reflection, right? And once you've done your makeup, and once you've combed your hair, and once you've brushed your teeth, and once you've done but it's the same reflection. There's no distortion there. That's it. But often in life, kind of, you know, there are distortions. It's like we're going into the funny mirror joint. Because we look into the mirror and we know that that's the true reflection of who we are, but we know that we're going through some things and we're going to go, hey, you're getting fat, dude. Look at you. You miserable person. Have you ever done that in front of the mirror? I've done that. Because you feel like that. But you know, it is often a distortion. Let me put it to you like this. See, I'm a Christian. And I gave my life to Christ in 1982. Some of you weren't even born then. In 1982, I gave my life to Jesus. I became a Christian. I grew up in a Christian household before that. But we never went to church except for Easter and Christmas and to confess your sins every now and then and to put a coin in the plate and to take communion every now and then. But when I became a Christian, and something changed. And my life took on new meaning because Jesus came to live within me. So I carry a name Christian. That means I'm a Christ follower. I'm a Christian. I'm not a person of religion. I'm a Christian. So there's got to be, because being a Christian doesn't mean to say that my face changes, although it does, because your persona changes. Something happens when you become a Christ follower. Your life takes on new meaning. But there's a reason for it, because it's the true reflection that you actually take on. And it's the true reflection of how God sees you and not how you see yourself. Because of who God is and because of how God created you to be. And I've been wrestling with this and thinking about this for a long time, because I don't know about you, but I'm a broken individual who has Christ in me. And he's the difference maker. But it's because he has a true picture of who I am. And for me to find that true picture, I can only find it in him, because of who he is. And when I came to know him, I began to find that. That's the truth. And sometimes we go through things in life and we face challenges and we face trials and we face hardship and brokenness and pain. And then we think, yeah, that seems to be so unfair, you know. But it's not the true reflection. That's not who God wants you to be. He's got so much more for you. And I'm not talking a prosperity gospel, yeah? I'm kind of saying God had an intention. He has an intention for you. He created you with a very specific picture in mind. So I want to talk about this morning, reflection. What's coming back at you when you look into the mirror? Are you seeing the true reflection of who you are? And who are you? What are you carrying with you every single day when you step out to go into the office or step out to go to college or school? What are you carrying with you? What image are you reflecting? Who are you reflecting? And whose are you reflecting? So two very powerful portions of scripture, one from John chapter 8 and one from Matthew chapter 5, will help us kind of understand something about reflection. Reflections, what should be bouncing back. Because they're both made by Jesus, and it's what Jesus said about himself and what Jesus says about you. And that's what we should carry into our days. That's what we should carry into our challenges, into our tests, into our trials, into our victories. We should carry this. And this will help us as believers to be authentic and the real thing. So in John chapter 8, Jesus said this. It says in verse 12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, and I want you to see the way he emphasizes this. Look at it. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. What a statement. In fact, I've never heard another world leader step up unless he's mad. Say something like that. You've got a lot of egocentric leaders in the world today. You know, puffed up, but they don't talk like this. But Jesus is making a very profound statement here. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, So the choice is yours. If you follow me, you won't have to. Here's a reflection. You won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads you to life. It's talking about salvation, talking about this journey that we find ourselves on. We're in the process of, if you follow me, but I am the light of the world. It is a statement. I am the light of the world. Then in Matthew 5, which is where the name of A City Church comes from, because we're Bible-based and we're trying to kind of follow God's heart. Jesus said this to his disciples, to be translated to you and I in the future. He said, you are the light of the world. This is after he told them in the previous verse that you are the salt of the earth. But I want to focus on the salt. You are the light of the world. Look at that. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. This is another statement. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop, that's where our name comes from, that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand. It's very strategically placed. So, for example, this local church is strategically placed. It's a light that Jesus has allowed to shine. So it says, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. The same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You are the light of the world. So Jesus says, I am the light. Not a light. There's been a lot of great leaders in the history of our world that have made a huge difference, left great impact. You know, think of people like Gandhi, like Mother Teresa, like Nelson Mandela. There's so many great, great leaders that have made impact in this world and left a lasting legacy. There's no doubt. But Jesus said, I am the light. But then he also says, you are the light. So I am the light, you are the light. There's something that needs to be reflected. So Jesus is saying, I am the light because I'm reflecting something. You are the light because you're reflecting something or you're supposed to. All right? You getting it? So I am and you are. The interesting thing about I am and you are is that Jesus is making a statement on your position and his position. So he's now standing in the flesh. So he's as a human being standing in front of his disciples. He's making a statement about his position. I am the light of the world. I'm making a serious statement. But it's a statement of position. I am a light. I am the light of the world. It's a stated position. A statement of fact, not consequence. It's not just, oh, by the by, you know. You know, if you behave like this or you behave like that, you'll be a light. And you'll be able to make a difference in someone's life. No. You are the light. I am the light. This is a positional thing. And this is how we should carry ourselves, and this is what should reflect. So Jesus is simply saying, look at me. If you look at me, you'll see light reflecting. And the light that's reflecting is not the reflection of the Son, it's the reflection of the Father that's coming through me. If you see me, you've seen God. That's what he's saying. And that should be the reflection that's coming back. So I am the light of the world. This is quite a scary thing because either Jesus, he's saying this, I am the light of the world. If you live in me, you will not live in darkness, because you'll have the light of life in you. Wow. So he's saying, it's either me or darkness. It's Jesus or darkness. It's up to you. But I'm saying to you, there's no in between you. It's me or darkness. But now take it to the next level. He says, you are the light of the world. So it's either you or darkness. It's up to you. Now I love the fact that you can take light and you can take darkness and you can bring them together and you can find a beautiful blend and a connection, and you'll be able to get a great reflection from what's there. But the light that God's talking about, what Jesus is talking about in you and in me, is a reflection from God the Father. It's His true position of how He sees you and what He has designed for you. You are the light of the world. A stated position. Again, Jesus making a stated position about you as His child. You are the light of the world. As I am, you are. I think that's greatly encouraging. But the distortions come. And often what we do is we live in contradiction to what God is actually saying. Because He's saying, you are the light, and we kind of seen too much darkness. Because we are allowing darkness to kind of lead us in. So I'm poor. I'm never going to get this right. I'm not accepted. I'm rejected. Hello? We go through those things. But then what we're doing is you see, the world is reflecting certain things on you, and we allow ourselves to be distorted by that reflection, because we're looking at, we can see the image, but the image is all distorted now because we're in the house of laughing. Because it's kind of, this is the funny place you come into and you have a good laugh for a moment. And when you walk away, it's all gone, but actually there's a funny reflection coming back at you. Then that's what the world does. That's the plan of the enemy, is to make you feel that you aren't who God says you are. Jesus is saying something very powerful about you and about me in this. He's saying something very profound and very powerful about Himself. But bringing it onto you and to me, He's saying as Christians, we have so much more. What challenges me to live that way. Because I understand that this position is based on a promise and a provision from God. God promised for you and I, because He created us in His image, and that was distorted through disobedience and a whole lot of other things. His true heart and His true relationship with us was affected. See, when God created us, He wasn't just looking for another being to create. He wanted to have a relationship with us. Because He created the angels. The angels have been around for eternity. He created all the angels. He created the devil. The devil just fell. It wasn't God's ideal. But there was a distortion. And a wrong picture emerged, and He decided to follow that picture. You are the light of the world. That means that in that statement, in Christ, there's a position. You have a position. You have a very unique position. You not only have a unique position, but you have a purpose. You have potential. There's a plan their promises. His personality. In fact, there's the person of God inside of you that's been manifested inside of you all the time. Think of Moses. So Moses spends 40 days in the presence of God, first time, and his life is greatly impacted. Remember, after they crossed the Red Sea, and you know, now he has to go up to Mount Zion. He gets the Ten Commandments the first time. He spends 40 days, 40 nights with God, and so on and so forth. And then it happens again. He has to go up again the second time. The second time he goes up, he begins to talk to God about certain things. And then he gets another, you know, tablet, iPad, comes down, he's got it, everything's cool. But then what happened was the more that Moses spent time in the presence of God, the more Moses began to take on the person of God. He began to take on the glory of the Lord. He began to take on the persona of God. Something began to translate in his life. A reflection started coming back at the children of Israel, which became a scary thing. So they built a tent specifically for Moses outside of the camp so that he could connect with God. And every time Moses, the cloud would come down and rest on that tent of meeting, they actually called it the tent of meeting, Moses would slip in there and spend days with God. And then he would come out and there would be another part of that glory all over him. And it became so intense after one conversation that Moses has with God. And Moses says to God, if you don't, you know, you've called me to lead this great people, to lead this great nation. You've called me to do a big thing. But here's the thing, God. If your presence can't go with me, if what we've been speaking about, if what you've revealed to me, if what you've told me about this nation, if what you've told me about these children, about these people, about this creation that you've created, if that can't go with us, if your presence can't go with us, then don't lead us up from here. Rather kill us all now, and let's get it over and done with. But I'm telling you, I'm not leaving here without. And from that day, when he comes out of that tent, the glory of the Lord is on him in such a powerful reflection that he has to put a veil over his face. Because the people can't look at him because of the glory of God. Remember, God said to Moses on the second encounter up in, he says, you can look at me, because God says, because Moses says, I want to see you. And God says, I'll give you permission, but you can't look at me. Because if you look at me, you will die. You won't be able to contain. You won't be able to handle this glory, man. But you'll get a reflection. And he takes on this reflection. And every time he steps out of the presence of God, there's the glory of the Lord. Jesus said, I am the light. Jesus says, you are the light. Stated position of fact, not consequence. In fact, in Hebrews 1, verse 1 to verse 3, the writer says, long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, the last days, he has spoken to us through who? Through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son he created the universe. The Son radiates, look at this, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. So Jesus understood, when he came to earth, he understood, I'm coming to reflect God. My mission, not just to die on a cross, my mission is to come and reflect God. My mission is to come and let people identify that God is who he says he is. And that when they look at him, they will see God in him. That's why the Jews crucified him. That's why they were frustrated with Pilate when Pilate asked them to put the instruction on the cross of who he is and why he's been murdered. And Pilate decided, let me tell you what I'm going to write there. Here is the Messiah. This is the Messiah you just killed. And they said, take it down. And he said no. And he put it in all the languages of the day. All the main languages of the day were put on there. Yeah is the King of the Jews. Yeah is the Messiah. Done. I've come to reflect God. That's what he's here to do. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 5, we know in the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him and nothing was created except through him. Notice, creation. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life, what did it bring? His life brought light to everyone. To everyone, not just to one nation, to everyone. That's what he came to reflect. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. This light you can't extinguish. This light that Jesus brought into the world is the light. If I switch the lights off here, obviously, darkness is in this building. Just like that. So the darkness overcomes it. But the reflection of the life of Christ inside of you, it can't extinguish that. Regardless of what darkness you're going through, or what dark periods you're experiencing, or what you are challenged with day in and day out, the fact is the light is in you because you are the light. So the darkness will try and distort the reality of who you are. But Jesus, he came and proved himself. I am the light. In fact, in verse 14 of the same chapter, John writes and he says, "And we have seen his glory." And we have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only, the Son of God, the light. We've seen his glory. And later on, they get the privilege of taking on that glory. They get the privilege of allowing the light to become light for them. And in them, the light begins to shine just as the light is in you, and you are the light. When God created man, in fact, when God was thinking about the creation of the world and the universe and everything, in Genesis chapter 1, he said, "And let there be light." And there was light. That's the light of the Messiah. It's not the sun, because the sun was created 3 days later. The sun comes on the third day. The sun as we know it. But that light was good because it separated the void between darkness and light. There was a separation in between. Because there was a void, there was an emptiness, there was a nothingness, and the light created life. Jesus was spoken about. Jesus entered into eternity, entered into the reality of where you and I are right here, right now. Because God said, "Let there be." But then further down in Genesis, God continues the story and he goes, "Let us make man in our image." Here's a reflection. So God's heart is always for us to have experienced that reality of "let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And then let them rule over. Let them be fruitful. Let them enjoy." So it's always been his heart that we carry him. And when we look at ourselves in the mirror, the reflection that's coming back is him. Our Father who art in heaven. That's the true reflection. Don't allow the darkness, as in the challenges and the trials that we go through and the issues that we go through, distort the true picture of who you are and who God's called you to be. Isaiah 60, verse 1 to verse 3. He has a word for the church. He has a word for you are the light of the world. As a city on a hill cannot be hidden. You are a light. He has a word for the church. And I'm going to put the church in it. And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about you as God's people. Because this is what we've got to do. Because we have a choice. Because Jesus said, if you... So I'm the light of the world, and if you follow me, you will have the light of life. So is our choice. And this is what it says. It says, arise, a city. In this context, it's arise Jerusalem or arise Zion. Arise, a city, Christians. Let your light shine for all to see. Let the true reflection of who God is shine through you, because he has the truth. Regardless of what you're experiencing right now, regardless of what you're going through right now, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. And darkness as black as the night covers all the nations of the earth, because there is judgments, there's all sorts of things happening in this world. But the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. And all the nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. What we've got to do is not accept the distortion of what's coming back at us because of trials and because of issues, but just to arise. Pick ourselves up out of that dust. Shake the dust off. Take on. You are the light of the world. Let the glory of the Lord come upon you. Not just like that cloud of glory that settled on the tent of meeting with Moses. No, the very presence of God go with you. So in your challenge, the presence of God. In your decisions that you're, the presence of God. In your challenges, the presence of God. Because that's what it's talking about. The glory of the Lord is upon you because you are the light of the world. So church, this morning, let your light shine.